Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
My main takeaway from last night, BT, was not Willis Reed. Oh, shades of Willis Reed with Jalen Brunson. It was more the New York Knicks are nothing without Jalen Brunson. Watching that second quarter, I couldn't stand it. Get Brunson back. That's all I cared about. I don't care what's going on here with the run from the Pacers or what the Knicks are doing. Get Brunson back in, because without him, the Knicks are nothing. Jalen Brunson showed you again his importance yesterday, and of course he comes back in the game and everything changes. But man, I know that they've withstood a bunch of injuries, but the New York Knicks, without Jalen Brunson on the floor, I don't care if it's a quarter, I don't care if it's 3 minutes, it is ugly without Jalen Brunson.
The level of disrespect that you're showing to these guys right now is ridiculous. It is unfair, and it is not even close to being true. Think about the teams, and they didn't win for us, and we love them. We know the 90s, right? Greg Anthony, Hubert Davis, Herb Williams, Anthony Bonham. Talk about the role players. All due respect to those guys who played hard and were in the middle of a lot of good moments. If Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, and Hartenstein played with Patrick and Mace, the guys I just mentioned wouldn't play. Like, the role players that I'm not even talking about OG, because right, he's obviously beyond a role player. The players that the Knicks have outside of Jalen Brunson are the best, like, you know, I don't even want to say role players, because, right, geez, their stats, it's like it's 7 points and three rebounds, but their secondary players destroy what the Knicks have trotted out, I believe, outside of anybody but the championship teams. Find the Knicks team that trotted out somebody like Josh Hart. You know, DiVincenzo again last night was muddy, and I know what you mean. Like, what, Jalen's out, it feels ominous. You're like, oh my God,
they've got nothing outside. Well,
but
of
that's
him.
Not true. They so
it is. Look at what the Pacers did without him on the floor. You can't rely on
Sal,
one
think
guy.
About this, though. I get that, but they didn't. Jalen Brunson played 16 minutes fewer than he usually plays. Right, so he sat for 16 minutes. 16 minutes he did not play. The Knicks still scored .130. They shot 57% overall. They've shot 46% from three. They took, I don't know, 20-something free throws, hit 83%, and they had single-digit turnovers. Like, you make it, and I know that they had a big lead, and I know that it immediately dissipated when Jalen got hurt. It comes back in, it gets restored. Understood. But show some respect to these guys.
I can't.
Good party, man. This is ridiculous.
Good party.
Josh Hart. You're not going to show Josh Hart respect?
You can't he gets respect to a certain degree. You can't survive
without
Jalen Brunson.
Respect? You said they're nothing without Jalen Brunson.
They're not. The New York Knicks as a team are nothing without Jalen Brunson. If Brunson didn't score 40 every game in the Sixers series, they would have lost that one.
Yeah, he didn't score 40 last night. They won.
Yeah, well, because the Pacers stink.
So now it's the Pacers stink.
Yeah,
so the Sixers were banged up. The Pacers stink. I mean, we just keep kicking this down the road.
Without Brunson, how'd the Knicks look against the Pacers? The game was getting out of control without Jalen Brunson.
Did they win the game?
Yeah, because Brunson came back in.
Yeah, but hold on a sec, Sal. When you go back, that's why I was.
Do you think they would have won that game if Brunson didn't come back in?
No. But that's not what you said.
So Josh Hart has some heart and toughness.
Not what you said. Yeah. Like, if you would have said that,
I said they're nothing. Yeah, they're nothing without Brunson.
That's very different than saying without those guys, they wouldn't have won the game.
Right.
I don't think I'd react the way I'm reacting. Like, because you're probably right. But here's the thing. Like, when Jalen Brunson checked back into that game, and you saw him shooting the free throws at halftime, and we weren't sure if he was going to make it back, like, he was very reluctant to get involved in the action. He sat in the corner. He gave up the ball. Couldn't get past anybody usually. That yo-yo forward, backside, boom, spin by, the footwork sublime. He didn't have it because he didn't trust his foot at that point. And I know what you're saying, Sal. Of course, there's a direct correlation. Brunson came back. The Knicks went on a run. The Knicks won. The Knicks were up 2-0. But early on, when they were chipping away at that deficit, it wasn't Jalen Brunson. It was Dante DiVincenzo. It was Josh Hart. It was Isaiah Hartenstein. Come on.
Well, without him, they were not, to me, not worth watching. They were playing a horrible game. And by the way, it just speaks to where they're at. They're not built like this. They're ravaged by injury. It's why I said coming into the postseason that they needed Julius Randle. It is quite obvious to me without Brunson, and we haven't seen it until last night for an extended period. My God. Yeah, these guys play hard. They play tough. They're physical. They're nowhere near good enough to win without him going nuts, whether that's him being in the entire game, whether that's him scoring 40 points. That's right now how they're built, and there's no way that that is sustainable to rely on one guy so heavily, even at home, even against a less-than Pacers team. There's not the Sixers, certainly not the Celtics. The Pacers aren't any good. If they were, they would have won one of these two games.
Well, the Pacers are soft. They are absolutely soft. I mean, Halliburton finally decided to shoot. Miles Turner wants to live 25 feet away from the rim. You know, Siakam was invisible for 80% of the game. Then he popped in for a minute. They're soft.
Right.
Listen. There's a lot of things to unpack here. The Knicks are getting a lot of friendly whistles. Let's not obscure that. You got to keep it real. But as you unpack the game, and while I couldn't disagree more, it's your opinion, so I got it. You know what my takeaway was? Honestly, and I tweeted this last night. I don't tweet much after games. Last night I was in a tweet mood because it was we could have gotten the news, and I mean, I guess we still can. Jalen Brunson, stress fracture, out for the playoffs. Like, there was a moment where everything was on the table, dude. Right. Like, you don't see a star player, any player, disappear, you know, 50 minutes of real time. Where is he? No one even knew. The broadcasters, no one had an idea. The side, whatever the side reporter's name is, that guy, nobody knew. But my takeaway was, after that game, I tweeted this, I sat there, I said, man, I can't respect the team more than I respect these New York Knicks, which is why I'm pushing back hard on what you just said about the non-Brunson players. Well, these guys deserve everybody's respect.
Maybe I would have felt like that had they won without him. Now, luckily, they didn't have to. We didn't have to see that because once he came back in the game, everything changed as predicted. Like, you could see, thank God, Brunson's back out there. He's healthy. They're going to be fine. They didn't win without him. They were getting beat without him. Then he comes back and they win the game. So to me, the group that everybody loves, and I understand why we love them. I love it too. The rebounding, the heart, also, although their defense has been an abomination in this series for the majority of the series. First two halves of each game, they don't play any defense.
They can't stop McConnell.
That's one part of it. How about guard somebody from three? I mean, they're just basically standing there watching the Pacers shoot threes. Oh, and by the way, the Knicks, the rebounding machine, maybe they do miss Mitchell Robinson because they're not rebounding the ball as well as they were in the first
series. They were plus 12 last night.
Yeah, again, you're looking at the numbers.
I'm looking at the numbers just to validate what I saw.
How many times the Knicks are getting second chance?
Sal, they were plus 12. Plus 12.
That's great. They're getting the way the rebounds were going in the first round series, they were getting second and third chances regularly. The Sixers are going one and done. That's not the case now, where they're giving the Pacers multiple opportunities on the offensive board, and the Knicks at times are going one and done. So they also have picked it up in the second half of each of these games. First half, no defense, no rebounding. But to me, I come away from that game obviously feeling good that the Knicks won. But the number one thing is, God, this team's got enough. It's not even their fault because they're missing their second best player.
Yeah.
They're missing Mitchell Robinson.
You're talking about Randall's second best, or we'll get to OG later. All right, fair enough. And aside from just flat out respecting the hell out of this team, you know what I take away? Like, I think we're missing the mark a little bit too. Like, all right, well, you know, Brunson goes down. And they're getting waxed, and then he comes back, and Brunson has influence in the Knicks' win. So I understand the connection. Like, without Brunson, they don't have a ton. But I would also say that if Brunson didn't have these guys, like, with their soul and their heart, I'm not even sure that Brunson would have been able to be Brunson this season. Like, the guys around him allow him to be him, and when it's time for the other dudes to step up, geez, I mean, Greg Anthony shot 38% from the floor. Oh, those 90s Knicks teams, they were awesome, phenomenal. Hubert Davis couldn't play defense. Herb Williams was a stiff. Anthony Bonner stunk. I mean, show some respect. This bench and the rest of the starting five is awesome. I love this Knicks team. Now, I'll get to the Celtics later. Yeah. This series, this team, I love these guys.
BT and Sal and the fan of friends of Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Steve is in Westport, Connecticut. Steve?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Listen, I just turned 60, so I've had the benefit of, although I was very young at the time, watching the Knicks in 69, 70, and 73. And this is the first time since then, even in 94, where I love these guys. I completely agree with you 100%. But I think it's a little, my takeaway is a little bit of both of what you're saying. Number one, on Brunson, last night demonstrates why he really is worthy of MVP consideration. Because when he was on the floor, he's the general, the guys defer to him, he's the captain, and the ball does not move when he's out of the game. DiVincenzo, these guys, rebounds, offensive rebounds, they hustle, they dive, but they're kind of looking around like, where's our leader? He's not on the court. And when he was not in the game, it was like, I guess with Sal, that was saying, the ball just didn't move. It just didn't seem the same. Sure, at the end of they won the game. You know, you look at the game stats, they were great. But last night, it wasn't like Brunson was in the game the whole time and say they won because of Brunson. You could actually see the difference between when he's on the court and not on the court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if he was not on the court, they would have no chance. They would never be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I understand that. What if Michael Jordan wasn't on the court? I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, they did have Scotty and, you know.
They had Scotty and they had Kukoc later on. Yeah. They would have, how many championships did they have? None. Without Michael Jordan, they didn't even get to the conference finals, dude. I mean, Kevin McHale was amazing. Is he that amazing without Larry Bird, you know, commanding double teams? I mean, I don't know. I really don't. You know, James Worthy was great. Is he that great if Magic's not filled him, you know, with fast breaks? I don't know.
But if Brunson was out and they had Julius Randle, who, you know, I'm a big Randle fan. I know you like Randle too, but you've been saying that you don't think the Knicks miss Julius Randle in this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, that would make a huge difference. Oh, you know what? It sucks. Brunson's out. We don't know what the hell's going on. At least they have another go-to guy. I'll give Anunoby a ton of credit because before he got hurt, he was knocking down big three after big three, keeping them in the game. Like, I like the threes. I don't care if you're up five and you miss a three. When you're down five and you hit the three, that to me is a big three-pointer.
Yeah, that's always a good shot as a fan. You're like, all right, here we go.
Keep us in it. And Anunoby kept doing that last night.
Yeah.
But without Brunson, BT, and we saw it in the regular season too when he would go down or have to sit out. God, they just, it's not their fault. It's not criticizing the Knicks. But without Jalen Brunson, they're nothing. I don't think they would have been able to beat the Pacers without Jalen Brunson last night. It does speak to how he should be an MVP. The fact that he got only, fifth place in the MVP voting is ridiculous. You saw the difference in one game last night.
I'll admit this. I mean, I don't think they would have won if Jalen doesn't come back.
Okay.
But that's very different from, you know how we view the other guys. Two different things. I almost don't want to admit this. There was because it's such like a weak loser thought. There was a part of me last night, I'm like, I don't know. Would it benefit the Knicks to just, hey, Jalen, take the night off. We'll see you game three. Like, I was almost thinking that because I didn't know. And I didn't think it was the nut shot. I think initially I thought it was the nut shot.
Yeah, but not keeping him out for an entire quarter.
Unless, God forbid, a testicle. I mean, I'm not trying to be, crude here.
I know that has
happened to certain, certain players. That's a painful one.
But one thing we could agree on there. Nobody wants to deal with that.
The testicular explosion, God forbid.
Oh,
Jesus.
Come on, man.
I mean, it's happened. Yeah. But I think Boone was saying this morning that it happened. One of the guys that in the bike tour last year. Anyway, I was wrestling in my mind for a moment. Is it the smart thing to do just to make sure that you win the series or give yourself the best chance to win the series to just put them on ice the rest of the night? Oh, and roll the dice on a win or a loss and theoretically have them come back fresh game three on the road. Now, they didn't do that. It worked out. They won. I don't know what the residual damage is going to be. I'm still worried about Jalen Brunson. It's not like a knee, a little bone contusion, like the foot. I mean, you start thinking Lynn Frank, you start thinking stress fracture. It's not a sprained ankle. So it's got to be something with you know, like joint or tissue. I'm still worried about his foot.
The one thing, though, he did, to your point, that he looked passive. Once he got into that little scrap with McConnell, that scrub, and I'd like to see the Knicks, somebody scrub it. Oh, my God. Can somebody stop this guy? You're going to get beat by McConnell?
He'd fit right
in
with us.
Keep him out of the paint.
He'd fit right in with us. Come on to the garden, McConnell.
You guys driving me nuts.
I love him.
Well, after he got into it with him a little bit, you could see Brunson turn it up and then really start to, you know, plant that foot.
Yeah,
a little bit. Push off and all that. All right, Jerry's in Manhattan. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
What's up, Jerry? What's happening?
Hey, I think, Sal, you lost today with your comments. They missed Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson hasn't done anything since the first game of the Sixers series, getting three rebounds, averaging more fouls than points. And with Hartenstein passing, the cuts and all that, they definitely don't miss him. And
yeah, also, you're right. They don't miss Mitchell Robinson at all, right?
Yeah, they don't. They really don't.
You don't think Mitchell Robinson would make a difference with T.J.
He's averaging.
Stop looking at the stats, Jerry. Stop looking at the stats and watch the game. Hold on a second, Jerry. You're a basketball expert, apparently. So educate us. Who's the Knicks' best rim protector? You know, like in the paint, defensive. Who is it?
Okay.
Who is it?
It's Robinson.
Okay, and how does T.J. McConnell look? How has he looked in the paint without Mitchell Robinson there?
It's not because of Mitchell Robinson.
No, it's not. Get lost, Jerry. I mean, give me a break. Look, you could say that you don't think Mitch is crucial to this series, as we both have.
The matchups, perimeter stuff.
Yeah, I will say after watching again game two, I do think they miss him. Now, they don't miss him on the perimeter because he's not that type of defender.
Mm-hmm.
But by the way, nobody on the Knicks is defending the perimeter well, specifically in the first half.
He's pretty good at that.
Specifically in the first half of each of these games. First half of each of these games, guys are shooting threes wide open.
Yeah.
And even Preston Chachua, who, you know, again, I wanted to see him more on Siakam. Yeah, he's not as good as Mitch. It's simple as that. Mitch at his peak when healthy is an elite rim protector and an elite rebounder.
Nobody's debating that.
Well, this guy's saying they don't miss him at all. Like,
well, that's
me
where you could maybe snuff out McConnell at that point. Yeah, I mean, Mitch, 7-1, McConnell's 6-2?
You think McConnell would have the same presence in the paint
there? No, he's not dancing freely in the paint. I agree with that.
That's just one little point. So don't say that. Like, the Knicks don't miss Mitchell Robinson. Now, to say that they can win this series without him, agreed. We said that yesterday or 2 days ago, whatever it was. That's a different story. Oh, my goodness. You can't say that they don't miss him. Like, all right, well, they don't miss Bogdanovich. They don't miss Mitch. They don't miss Randle. Yeah, they don't miss anybody.
So far, they don't. They keep winning.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what lurks.
Yeah, well.
That's going to be different.
The comeuppance
is
coming.
Just enjoy this, please.
Yeah, I know.
Just enjoy
this. I'm trying to. Zach is calling from Rockwell Center.
The Celtics
what's
later.
Up, Zach?
That's gonna be tough.
Yeah.
Go home. Go in your closet and put your doink costume back on because all you've been doing this entire postseason is trashing the Knicks.
That's not true.
What a revelation,
Zach. That's not true.
The best player and they're not as good. Like, and it's not even the fact that it's Jalen Brunson. It's their point guard. It's the quarterback of the offense. They're already depleted, and all you've done is trash this team. That's not true at all. You take away the best player, and they're not as good.
Yeah, no. I didn't say they're not as good. Zach, clean out your ears because I'm going to say this for you clearly. I didn't say they're not as good. I said the Knicks are nothing without Jalen Brunson. Now you go back in your closet. Get out of here. One thing I will not tolerate is the Knick unabashed fanboy. Here's the thing. Knick fans, you don't want to hear this? Get your brooms out. Because if the Knicks do advance, and I believe they will in five games, they're getting swept by the Celtics.
I'll worry about that.
That's going to be the comeuppance.
I mean,
they're going to get swept and beat to a pulp, and the Knick fans are going to crawl back in their corner. Oh, I thought this team was better. I've been saying from the beginning they missed Julius Randle. You're going to wish you had Julius Randle healthy. By the way, BT, it's not even a knock on the Knicks. Like, they have no chance because they're depleted. We'll get to OG in a minute. Knick fans, enjoy this run. You're talking about championship. You're talking about going far. Enjoy this, because this is it.
Well,
beating the Pacers is going to be the high point of the next season.
I got a little news for you, and I know who your boy is. That'll be John Starks, who's at every game. And by the way, Stephon Marbury has suddenly inserted himself. He was there again. I love Starks, too. If Starks was on this team, he's going to be doing a lot of cheering, because he's not going to be playing. That's how much better the guys on the court now are than John Starks. And if that offends the old heads, and I'm one of them, tough. Because
you talk about
like the fandom and the fanboy.
Right.
Now, there's elements of that seep into, but also being able to look at a player from an era that was very important to either you or others, and me as well, because we're basically the same age. We love those 90s Knicks. And not appreciate the progression and the more skill. Dante DiVincenzo is simply more skilled than John Starks.
No, I don't think so.
But he is.
I totally disagree. I think they're similar.
He's a better athlete. He's got a better handle. He's a more consistent shooter.
No way. He is.
Nah, he's a better passer.
Yeah, in a different NBA where nobody's playing any defense.
That, I get that.
No. Hey, by the way, nice shot by DiVincenzo last night. The Knicks get a rebound under a minute to go, and this guy's chucking a three
floater. But from the three. Yeah. Well,
hold the ball, you knucklehead.
That was a quick one. Yeah, that was a quick one. But listen, hold on. What we can't do here, we can do it, but we're going to call people out for doing it. And we're going to overly romanticize what those Knicks were.
No, they would be
back
nothing
in
without
the
you.
Day.
I'm with you.
But this is the same kind of character, and I'm stunned that you don't. I don't mean championship. They can't win the championship this year. They're not going to beat the Celtics. But to not appreciate it more than I thought you would appreciate this more.
Here's
than
why
you do.
I respect Josh Hart and DiVincenzo and the way the Knicks play. That has taken almost precedent over the greatness of Brunson. The New York Knicks, like back in the 90s, if you say, hey, you take Ewing off this team, the Knicks would be nothing. And that would be accurate, right? The Knicks would be nothing without Ewing. But it was always about Ewing. It wasn't about, oh, look at the heart that they've shown and the toughness. It was about Ewing first and foremost. Now it's become, oh, my God, look at these role players. These guys are great and they're deep and they're hard and they play so tough. Yeah, that's great. That could only take you so far. Without Jalen Brunson dropping 40 every night, which he has done when healthy, without Brunson coming back from an injury last night, whatever it may be, how severe it may be, being the hero, this Knicks team, the little engine that could Knicks, they're nothing.
I can't prove this, okay? But, you know, Patrick seeped into it again, role players, supporting cast. Patrick Ewing, let's say Pat in his prime, mid-20s, 26, 27, like Jalen, goes down. And you're trying to win with the guys, we all know who they are. That team, minus Ewing, playing this team, minus Brunson, would get smoked. These guys would smoke those guys.
I'm not so sure about that.
Smoke show.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back on the other side. We've got to get into OG and the injury and the impact that would have on this team. And maybe a reason for it. I mean, is there something to the minutes from Tibbs? We'll get to that and your calls on the other side. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now here's Chino. One on, two out. Pitch is swung on and drilled. The deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone. The Fan Chino with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan. So obviously, BT, the OG. Like, okay, you want to make an argument that Randall goes down. All right, the Knicks can maybe survive it to a certain extent. They certainly did. They got the two seed. They're in the second round of the postseason. At worst, two wins away from being in the Eastern Conference Finals, even without what I think and many think is their second best player overall. All right, you want to say they could survive without Bogdanovich? Not a big deal. Sox losing his scoring potentially off the bench for a few minutes tonight, giving some guys a breather. All right, you could survive. Mitchell Robinson, yeah, you know, like not having him there. You'd rather be whole, but all right, can you survive without OG Anunoby? Like, it's the end of the road. There's just no way the Knicks can survive without him. Could they beat the Pacers? Sure. I still think they could get two more wins in the series even without OG Anunoby, but I mean, there are just some things you can't overcome. It's been enough is enough.
I've never seen this in my life. This is it's almost unfair. It's cruel, right? I mean, think about how long New York's waited for a team like this, with this heart, with this kind of success. Like, let's not underscore. Right. Let's not miss the mark. You know, one thing about these Knicks is they're so, you know, they're so easy to root for, and they seem to really have every trait that we demand of our teams here, that I think we kind of gloss over how good they are. That's why I always stick up for their role players, like what Hart's doing, what Dante's doing, what Isaiah Hartenstein's doing. It's skill. Yeah, it's effort, it's IQ, it's toughness, it's all, but it's skill. Anyway, we've been watching sports 40 years. Me just about, you know, right, 41, right. 48, you the high 30s. I've never seen a team decimated like this. I mean, we've seen situations where, you know, obviously, Aaron Rodgers goes down. Don Mattingly hurts his back.
Yeah, the Mets and Yankees have had it pretty bad over
like
the years.
Like this? Yeah, well, no way.
I think it's more emphasized on a basketball team because there are only, you know, 12 guys or whatever that are in the, you know, on the main roster here.
Yeah.
And it's not just role players that have been getting hurt.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. But show me a time where, you know, Keith and Gary and Doc and Daryl didn't play together for an extended amount of, or Tino and O'Neill and Mariano and Pettit. I mean, I understand it's very different when you apply it to the basketball court just based on, you know, one player monopolizing the ball and 20% of everybody that's out there and usage rate, blah, blah, blah.
Well, they're now down three or five
different
starters.
Yeah.
Randall, Mitch, and Anunoby.
And OG. I don't know. I thought with OG initially, just the way his leg was so straight, I'm like, that's got to be a cramp. It looked like a cramp.
That's what they were saying on the broadcast.
Well, which is what I was hoping for, because that obviously goes away. It's painful as hell if you've ever had a cramp. It's like the end of the world, but then it goes. It dissipates. Now, grade one, grade two, I don't know. But is he out for the, he's not going to be out for the season. I don't think it's that ominous. Do you?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, we got to find out. But point is, without, like, I realistically, and we said this before the postseason, I didn't think the Knicks would have a chance to win a championship or, you know, beat the Celtics, certainly after watching game one and game two after Philadelphia. And that's before an injury to Mitch, to Bogdanovich, to Anunoby. I mean, come on. There's no chance without Anunoby that the Knicks would even have a fighter's chance to get a game without Anunoby.
I agree with that. You have to agree with that.
You think they could beat the Pacers without him? That's only two more games.
It's ironic because, you know, here we are, you know, butting heads out of this, but I'm not so sure that I agree with you that they can win the rest of the series without OG.
Yeah.
I'm honestly not sure about that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We differed after game one, where I felt more confident, even though the Knicks didn't play well after game one.
Yeah.
Now I feel even more confident, not just because they're up 2-0, but because of, like, they've taken the Pacers' best punch. Think about this from an Indiana perspective. Those babies and Rick Carlisle whining. If you're the Pacers, you had the Knicks on the ropes in game one, you missed an opportunity. Okay, come back game two. Jalen Brunson is out for an entire quarter. Your guys are actually hitting some shots. Halliburton was actually going off.
Yep.
You gave your best shot, and you still couldn't get a win. They may get a win at home. I'm sure they'll get the benefit of the whistle at home for at least one of the games. They're not anywhere close to where the Knicks are.
Now, it's different from the two-minute report, which we've spent a lot of time on going back to the Sixers series. I know they just filed a Like it's a compilation of
like 79 or
78.
Come on, dude.
Missed calls that when you do this in the playoffs, the other team also receives it. And I guess they wanted to do it. I think that they said there was like 28 or 38 missed calls in game one, but they didn't do it because Rick Carlisle thought that they would just kind of get a better whistle in game two based on the discrepancy in their eyes. And by the way, mine, I thought the Knicks, the whistle was favored the Knicks seemingly, you know, for about a month or so now. Which I'm not mad at it, but let's just call for what it is. But after game two didn't change, they sent it in, 78 missed calls. Now, if we're in Indiana doing a show, that's our main focus right now. Like the Pacers, and I'm happy it's happening, Pacers have been absolutely bent over by the referees. There is no way to dispute that.
All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Billy is in Oceanside. What's up, Billy?
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Billy?
So I don't really understand the take, the Brunson take, for the perspective of if you take Anthony Edwards off, if you take Anthony Edwards away, if you take Luka away, if you take Jokic away, none of those teams are winning.
I didn't say that the Knicks weren't winning. I said that the Knicks are nothing without Brunson, and those other teams have better players left if their star does go down. But I didn't say that the Knicks can't win without Brunson. I just said they're nothing without him. I said that that was my takeaway from last night, as opposed to, oh my goodness, look at this hero. Jalen Brunson is great, which I acknowledge he is. We've been saying that for how long now? Going back to the regular season, it's not a surprise anymore. But if you take him off this team or away for a quarter or an extended period, or he doesn't score 40 a night, the Knicks have nothing without him. That's what I said.
But the take was, as soon as he came in, you know, Brandon was pumped. The Knicks won. The Knicks won. And you're like, yeah, but without Brunson, they're really not any good. That's with any team. Take Jordan off the boat. That's at any team.
No, it's not.
You take their best player, they're done.
No, that's not, Billy, and thank you for the call. First of all, you're missing the point. That's not what we talked about coming in. Of course, we're pumped up about the Knicks win. It was a great win. I mean, any win in the postseason is a good win, especially that one, especially against the freaking Pacers. And FU Reggie is right. I mean, I was thinking it all night long.
Need Reggie Miller doing the game.
I mean,
I like Reggie. I think he's very likable despite the relationship here. I don't need Reggie Miller doing these games.
And that was a whole other aspect of it. But you're missing the point. The Knicks have been talked about as this team. Oh, they're a great, terrific team. They play hard. They're tough. They fight. They claw. They do everything the right way. It's all about Jalen Brunson. Without him, all that other stuff that we respect and love means nothing because they're not good enough without him. That's it. And by the way, they're banged up. Like, they're losing. They're missing some key players here. So, I mean, that's a part of it as well. But you saw the difference last night. That was my takeaway. Not, oh, my God, this is great that Brunson's back. It's, oh, my God, like, they're relying on him to score 40 every night and basically play every single minute because without him, they can't do anything.
Well, I mean, but to me, it wasn't a revelation that they're relying on him to drop 40 every night because they are.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a problem.
It's a problem until it's really a prolonged, pronounced problem. Last night, thankfully, it was just an intermittent problem. He came back and things worked out well. Now, listen, I actually believe that the answer is a little more in the middle of what I'm saying and what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson is, you know, Iverson, Isaiah. Jalen Brunson is, I don't even want to go past this. I'm going to say, I'm not turning this into, we're not taking calls on this. Jalen Brunson might be in the formative stage of going down as the best small guard in the history of the NBA. You do whatever you want with that. Tweet it, debate it. I don't care. I believe it. That's what I feel because that's what I see. And I know the NBA, number one. Number two, though, to have that talent and to do what he's doing, you've got to have, like, the perfect pieces around you. All the offensive rebounds, all the extra possessions, all the Chris Paul movement, all the great screens, all the things that DiVincenzo and Hart and Hartenstein and OG, they do, it enables Jalen Brunson to be this level of Jalen Brunson. So while Brunson's greatness is utterly undeniable, so too is the fact that they have the perfect team around him.
Right, but other teams could survive a little bit better.
I don't
without
disagree with
theirs.
That. I don't disagree. No,
and that's kind of
about
the
like
point.
The Jokic, like Jamal Murray could take over.
Well, yeah.
Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I mean,
although before Anthony Edwards started becoming Anthony Edwards, what the hell's Karl Anthony Towns done? He's done nothing.
Right, but he was
zero.
He was still a scorer in the league. You know,
everybody's got a scorer. Yeah, he takes 25 shots a game.
Well, the Knicks don't, and that's kind of the point. And by the way, again, it's not by design. Like, it's not like, oh, they need to go get another player. We could talk about that in the offseason, how they're going to construct this team. They had it with Julius Randle. There's a 1-2 punch there that I feel like you need. If Embiid doesn't do it one night, Maxey's going to do it. If Maxey comes out of the, what if Embiid doesn't do it? Yeah, well, then Maxey does it. You saw what happened in Game 5 in that series. So is it really even saying anything that the Knicks are nothing without their player? Some people think that it is. I mean, to me, it was just, that was my obvious takeaway. My God, without Jalen Brunson, they can't, all that heart, all that energy, all those things that we love about this team, without Jalen Brunson, it means nothing. Jerry's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jerry?
Hey.
Well, hey.
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing is, the Randall thing, right? I get that him missing is a problem in a sense, but as the season progressed, what I realized was it had to always be Jalen's team. With Randall there, it was sort of like, because he's the vet, Jalen would kind of like allow him to be the leader, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be Jalen's team. It mm-hmm. couldn't be both. Okay,
I agree.
So that's why I feel like they're succeeding a lot better than even last year's playoffs, because last year Julius was still like being Julius.
Well, Jerry, what you said is last year the transition of power, that symbolic power and understanding of whose team it is, and that matters in the NBA. It wasn't complete yet because Randall commanded respect. Randall earned
it. Exactly.
He earned minutes, but now Jalen could just do his thing. And with Randall there, Randall would ease the burden in certain regards. But what I've always said, and thanks for the call there, Jer, and Sal, I've said this for months now, is that the one or two things that Julius Randall is simply not good at and will never be really good at, the quick decision, the efficiency when it's late, he gets out of whack. That takes away the pathway for Brunson to be Brunson. See, I really believe that. I truly believe that.
I think the biggest impact that the absence of Randall has been on Josh Hart. Without Randall, Hart has been much, much more of a focal point. On the ball consistently, scoring much more.
Yeah.
With Randall, Hart was
he was a glue guy.
Yeah.
I
don't want to say insignificant role.
No. He's always been a glue guy. He's always been respected. But
in the absence of Randall, his role has gone from like bit player to main guy.
Imperative that he stays healthy and that he plays well.
So I think that the Randall impact or the Randall absence has more of an impact on Josh Hart, which does change the entire offense, than it does Brunson specifically. The only real reference point that we all have to go off of was after the trade, because nothing that happened last year matters. It was a totally different team.
Why didn't the Heat series matter? I know what you can say about the regular season, a little snippet where they all played together.
With Barrett and Quickly, like, I don't mean it doesn't matter.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying, like this is a totally different team than it was last year.
I thought you meant just the Brunson-Randall dynamic.
No, I
got you.
I'm talking about just different team in general.
Uh-huh.
So the Knicks season changed forever. The course of their franchise changed forever with the trade of R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly.
True.
Changed. Like, for one way, Knicks fans are going,
In a great way.
Well, I think in the best way. Yeah, and remember what Knicks fans said about it then?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a stupid...
I think it was more about IQ. I think most people understood Barrett had to go.
The immediate reaction from most Knicks fans was, oh, this is a stupid trade. How could you do that? Whatever. That was a franchise-changing trade for the better. And the only real reference point that we have was post that trade, Brunson, Randall, Anunoby together, they were playing like the best team in the league. Unfortunately, we were robbed of seeing how that would have played out throughout the entire course of the season and on into the playoffs.
Talk New York sports with us. 877-337-6666. Powered by AT&T Business.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankees 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan.
And by the way, Sal, real quick, before we get back to the Knicks stuff here, obviously, there's one team in baseball with 25 wins. That's the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees have the best run differential in the American League. They've got the second best in baseball. Judge's OPS is back up to around 850. Heel has proven to be a bit of a revelation. He's got nasty stuff.
Oh, come on, dude. You put me to sleep here with the Yankees.
He's got absolutely nasty stuff. Rodon bounced back nicely, and Gerrit Cole's on his way back.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as much as we get wrapped up in these Knicks and Rangers, and we will, Yanks are starting to carve out a little space there in the American League, my friend, which you will not acknowledge right now, I'm sure.
No, I won't, because the Yankees look like a great team against crappy teams. And that's their MO. That's what they do. Do that against Baltimore. Didn't they just play Baltimore a week ago?
Played poorly.
And how they lost 3-4.
Well, they played the Guardians. Yeah. They're leading their division. They hammered them around a couple of weeks back.
Yeah. All right. You know what I mean? Look, Yankees have a long way to go.
I don't disagree with that, Sal. I'm just saying Yankees are starting to look good. The other thing I want to say, now this pertains more to the injury status here with OG. So today is the 9th. If it gets to a 7th game, that's scheduled for the 19th. The Eastern Conference Finals, you know, not to push it too far, but if they get there, begins either the 21st or the 22nd. So today's the 9th. The next round's either 21 or 22. Depending upon what's up with OG, you would think that unless it's just a complete rip and that he's out, you know, he's out for no matter how long they play, you'd have to think that OG's going to be back.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is with or without him, they're not beating the Celtics anyway. And again, we don't have to talk about that today. That could be for when the Knicks actually do beat the Pacers. I just want to know how, like, what's the situation here? Is he coming back against the Pacers? Because then there's question marks potentially about how they're going to fare in this series. Could Brunson play 48 minutes tonight on his foot? Because he's going to have to. He might have to do that with Anunoby, but without Anunoby, I mean, maybe look, if Anunoby can't play the rest of this series and Brunson is compromised in any way, the Knicks might lose 4 straight here. Now, I think they're going to win in 5 still. But you could easily paint the scenario that if there's no Anunoby and Brunson is hobbled.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, I mean, I don't think anything's off the table, you know, with the amount of injuries that have besieged the team. But, and we've said this a few times, but we have to restate it. Pacers are soft.
Yeah,
they
know.
They have no toughness. They don't have an ounce of toughness in them.
All they do is, well, they are tougher than the Sixers. And I know that's not
soft.
Saying much.
They're not tougher than Philly.
Yeah, I think that they are.
No way. Kelly Oubre's a defender and Bede's dirty. No way.
Whoa, what do you mean by tougher, though? More talented?
No, not talking about talent. No, not
deeper.
Talent. Not talent, not depth. Just tenacity, will, spirit, soul,
heart. I think they play harder than Philadelphia.
No, they push the ball with more pace. They're running faster. They're not fighting for balls.
Well, defensively,
tougher.
I think defensively.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, just putting that look, it's a different game.
Pacers
up and down.
Pacers soft as hell.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think the Pacers are any good. I felt like that going into the series. Then I watched them play 2 straight games. I still don't think they're good. Now, they'll win a game because of their shooting, right? All the shots are going to go down at home. One of these games, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get the benefit of the whistle. Guys will start raining threes left and right. And maybe that's how they get their game, but I don't think ultimately they could win the series for the Knicks unless Anunoby is definitively out and Brunson is compromised in any way. Michael is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Michael?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Good win yesterday, but I had a question. The lack of a coach's awareness sometimes is mind-boggling. T.J. McConnell needed to be in that game at the end with 7 minutes left. I know you're making fun, Sal, but, like, he had 12 assists, 10 points, 4 rebounds.
He's been annoying. He's killed the Knicks.
How do you take him out? Like, I don't understand it. I understand you have a plan going in, but it was obvious that he was a big difference and he was really giving them problems. You got to be smarter as a coach.
I can't believe Rick Carlisle messed that up the way he did. Rick's a tremendous, he's an NBA champion. He's a great coach. That was bad.
Well, isn't it just because about the three-point shooting?
He's a horrendous three-point
right,
shooter.
So he wants to, I mean, that's what the Pacers do, spread the floor, knock down the three.
I get that, but, you know, he also, his dribble penetration got right into the teeth of the Knicks defense without Mitchell Robinson, had a couple of beautiful handoffs for dunks and layups, and, you know, he's
tough
also
player.
A guy, I think more specifically from a defensive point of view, just getting up on Brunson.
Yeah, he's a tough player.
He is.
Yeah, but when they got into that tiff, then Brunson started to be like, all right, it's almost like he woke Brunson up and was like, enough's enough. You know, Brunson's for a guy that's got that killer mentality and is as big a superstar as he is, he's almost too nice at times, you feel like. Even with the Embiid stuff where, you know, certain players wouldn't handle it the way, and it's a testament to Brunson and his patience and just level-headedness, which I think is a great attribute.
Yep.
However, sometimes it pays to be a little mean or nasty.
Yeah.
And I felt like last night he had enough. Maybe it was just the frustration of the injury. Maybe it was McConnell specifically. I don't know. But you could almost see it in Brunson, like the switch was flipped.
I agree.
And he had that edge to him, and yeah, I liked it.
He pushed off a few. And it wasn't overly demonstrative, like, whereas other stars, it's so noticeable. They just, there's like this rage, which they can control,
right,
and that they can navigate. But it's so apparent that they're foaming at the mouth, where, you know, for him, a little push off or a little stare, that constitutes him being fired up. But I also think that that's why, you know, outside of, you know, a late game situation or two against Philly, really when he jumped up for the shot and passed to Hartenstein, who was going to the rim, I think that balance and that measured approach, when he gets worked up negatively, I think when the game's tight, I think that's why his heartbeat is so slow, because it's always the same approach.
That's what I'm saying. It could become a weakness for certain players. For him, his even keel demeanor is a great attribute. Milton is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Milton?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm going to try to just keep it a level tone so I don't get hung up on. But I'm going to go back. I go back to the 80s, okay? So we know all about the 50-point games on Channel 9. We know all about the 90s suffering, never getting a second player for Ewing, and the X-Men leaving. That pissed me off. We all know about that. Mm-hmm. Then we struck forever. It was embarrassing to tell anybody I was a Knicks fan. I suffered, and I stuck with them. And I finally get a team that I'm proud of. Okay, and I got to hear Sal every day come down and knock us down a notch just to get people pissed off.
That's not true. Like, hold on a second. Milton, if you're going to, and we'll give you plenty of time to talk here, but you got to at least be factual. So do not say that I come on every day and knock the Knicks down a peg, because that's just factually not true. And there's proof of it. You could go back on the free Odyssey app, by the way, I might add, and listen to it. Download the podcast. There's no way that what you're saying is accurate. So it's factually incorrect. I do not come on the air every day and knock the Knicks down. By the way, I didn't even do that today. I didn't even do it today. If you listen to what I said, I said it was my takeaway. You can't tell me how to feel. Okay. My takeaway from the game was not, oh my God, this is a great win. Obviously, I was excited about the win and the performance. It was, oh my God, this team without Brunson is nothing. Now go ahead.
Sal, but what is your point with the thing with Brunson? Okay, you're right. So what? They're not good without Brunson. We all know that. Sal.
No, and do we? Do we? Sal, are we sure?
Sal, but what Knicks fan, I'm begging you to let me finish.
Go ahead.
What Knicks fan are you talking to? What Knicks fan is talking championship, my brother? We made the playoffs. We lost to the Hawks. We made the playoffs. We went to another round further. This year, we're going possibly further. And you get on the radio and you're talking about we're going to get swept by the Celtics. Who cares about that? We're talking about now. And right now, this team has injuries. They're overcoming it. You got to bring me down by talking about, oh, this team is not nothing with Brunson. Like, what is the point of saying that?
That's how I feel. Are you going to ignore reality? It's how I feel about this. By the way, Milton, I picked. Hold on a second. Before the series started, I picked the Knicks to beat the Pacers in five. After game one, even though the Knicks didn't play well, I still said I feel even more confident about this team. How's that knocking them down a peg?
Okay, my last thing.
No, not okay. Yes. You just don't get to ignore that. By the way, in the Sixers series, my main criticism was after games one and games two. And do you remember what it was? Do you remember? Because I'll remind you. It was that they can't win if Brunson doesn't go off. Guess what? Brunson started to go off, and they won. And that is rung true here now a series later.
You're right, but you know what you're doing, Sal? And I'm catching you because I've been listening since 1987. I know your gimmick. You're playing both sides. On one side of your mouth, you're saying, I picked the Knicks in five. But you know what? There's a possibility they're going to get swept the next four games against the Pacers. So now that
happens. No,
there's not.
Oh, my God, Milton. Oh, my God. See, this is what I mean. And thank you for the call, Milton. I said that after we were learning about the Anunoby injury. And Brunson, if Brunson is compromised, just to clear it up, I think the Knicks are still winning in five. I don't know how many times I got to say that so people could actually hear it. However, could there be a scenario where if Anunoby is definitively out and Brunson is compromised, where then the Knicks could start to lose some of these games here and maybe lose four straight? Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. But if you start talking about injury to Brunson, all bets are off, and that's the point of the show.
Mm-hmm. They're not losing this series. They're not losing this series.
If Brunson is hurt and misses games, you think they're winning the series?
They'll find a way to two. They'll get two.
If Brunson is out, Knicks are losing this series. Now, he's not going to be out.
I'm not worried about that, which maybe allows me to kind of say that.
That's a total hypothetical,
I mean, if we got news today that Jalen Brunson's out for the season, God forbid, I still think that, like, you know, and OG's back.
Well, no, we're talking about both of those guys.
Both are out. I mean, come on. I mean,
if
both are out.
And by the way, even if OG's back without Brunson, I still think that they could beat. Now, they're up 2-0, and I don't think the Pacers are very good. However, I wouldn't feel as confident saying they're going to win in 5. And nobody's saying not to enjoy the games. I don't understand why you guys, like, why you're not understanding that, Milton. You don't want to hear the truth? You don't want to hear reality? I'm a Knicks fan, too, just like you. I feel a certain way. I felt annoyed and frustrated watching that game last night, waiting for Brunson to come back in. These guys, you can't handle the truth.
But how did you feel after it? Proud and energized like the rest of us, right?
I felt excited. Here's the other thing. I expected them to win the game. So it was more frustrating when they were losing, but I felt like, okay, they did their job. Here's how I felt. This series is over. After they won that game and took the Pacers' best shot with Brunson being out and all the uncertainty around him, he came back. Initially, he didn't look himself. Then he looked himself, took over the game they won. My thought then was, this series is over. Knicks are going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching him at halftime, but I'm like, I don't know if this guy's coming back. I mean, everything about Jalen Brunson gives you reason to believe that he was coming back, but I don't know. He was out. He was in that locker room for a long time.
Yeah, and you know
him. They give him a needle? I mean, what do they do? I mean, which is fine, but for it to be that bad, it's not like he was on the bench. He disappears. Seems fairly ominous. That's the word that I used to start. We were all worried. Everybody was shook. He comes back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you, Jerry, think it was a testicular explosion?
Well, the way he was grabbing himself, it was something.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I don't know about explosion.
Well, BT said that before, and then he said that Boomer talked about it. I'm familiar with that.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, they brought it up. I think somebody with the bike tour. But hey, listen, at least they had the dark unis on last night, right? So if it wasn't the explosion, it would have been okay.
Why? You mean, well, like,
imagine if it was white uniform?
You mean like explosion, like...
Maybe it's not external. Maybe it's internal.
Oh, yeah, come on, yeah, man. Yeah, but I was thinking, actually, too, when the first report came out, Foot, I'm like, oh, that's such a lie. Maybe something's going on where, like, they don't want to share the reality of, it's his,
Sack tap.
Anyway, we know this. Whether it was tapped, banged up, or what, ultimately, the Knicks have shown sack. Yeah, exactly. Right, Jerry.
Sackometer.
Right, Jerry goes, they got balls. Yeah, all right. All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.